Welcome to the Fuller Chasing Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 11th of December, and I'm recording at 9:47 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time in the United Kingdom, in London, as a matter of fact. Now, we have nervous conditions in these markets, as you will certainly have noticed. I've been talking about it for most of the week, and I think it's really going to continue. Now, I ran through a lot of factors which were causing this in my 17-minute plus audio yesterday, and I don't want to do that all over again, but you can certainly hear that at the beginning of that audio if you have not already, or if you wish to review it. I'll only add that there is another point that I had not mentioned yesterday, and that's that the U.S. market has a lot of new issues that are taking place right now. So this has been a very heavy year for new issues, and of course that's adding supply to the market. Now, some of those have been postponed and or delayed, and same thing, I guess. But that's creating a little bit of uncertainty. However, the bigger uncertainty, I think, goes back to the oil price. Now, I'll just say again very quickly that that's a heaven-sent gain for the Indias, Japan, certainly for all of the EU, European Union countries, I would think. And any other country that imports nearly all of its crude oil. However, you take a country such as the USA, it very quickly reaches an equilibrium. On one side, you have the airlines doing vastly better, getting that big windfall gain. All consumers get the windfall gain, and that also will apply to most retailers, except the ones that are closest to the the shale oil sites in the Dakotas and Texas and elsewhere. Now, the problem for the U.S. is that it is one of the world's, if not the world's, biggest energy producer here, although it doesn't export that energy yet, at any rate. And if you take the whole energy sector, but particularly obviously the shale side, that it's been a huge capital expenditure area for the U.S. economy. All those drilling rigs, all the pipelines, all the supportive equipment that goes on with that, and all the building that's taken place and so on. So that really faces a crunch here right now with the WTI as I speak. Well, it's just sort of accelerating a little bit after hours. It was hovering a little above the $60 level pretty much all day, and then broke down below. And it's currently at $59.26. So we've got some again, obviously persistent and accelerating weakness in this market. And the Saudis are very happily still talking it down. So, you know, this is a bit of a white-knuckle game that's going on in here, or contest, perhaps I should say. It's, you know, who can hold their breath longest, or, well, you can think of your own analogies with all of this, but it is bound to cause a degree of havoc. Now, that doesn't matter so much. Well, I hope I'm not don't sound callous in saying that. If it's Russia, which Putin, all on his own, has turned into a pariah country, or I should say, certainly it's run by a pariah regime. Here, but what about the Venezuelans? What about all the other oil producers, whether in the Middle East or elsewhere, that are finding that they're really on below the borderline here in terms of revenues in a totally unexpected way? So that's inevitably creating some nervousness, and then you get the year-end profit-taking. Okay, what happened, or a little bit of year-end profit-taking by people who want to go away, and I think this is mostly fund managers, investment managers, rather than private investors. I say that as a private investor. I don't feel any great urge to get out before the end of the year. And as a matter of fact, I've been nibbling here on the setback, as you know, and will probably continue to do so. Okay, so what happened in Asia Pacific stock markets? Well, you remember the yen had rallied against the U.S. dollar, and that's weakened Japan for several days, including today. And the Nikkei 225 is down 155 points. That's but 0.89 of 1%. And the Hang Seng down by a similar amount in the China region. The Shanghai Composite Index was actually a little higher early this morning, China time, but is ended the day down almost 0.5%. Although the Shenzhen Composite, mind you, that's a much less important index, but it gained 0.9%. But generally, these China markets here are lower. So South Korea. Australia, South Korea had one of the bigger declines, down 1.5%. Pretty well all the others, except for New Zealand, which had a small gain, are down, and Thailand down 2.10%. That was the biggest drop in that Asia Pacific region. I should also add that there are concerns about dollar loans in that area. I don't think it's going to be anything like as bad as it was in 1997 and 1998. They learned an awfully big lesson back then. But no, people are asking questions. It is a problem. And at any time when you get a really strong surge in the U.S. dollar, it does cause a little havoc somewhere, at least a little havoc somewhere else. The European markets did better in here today. They're mostly higher, not the UK, though affected by the energy and mining prices is lower. Germany was up nearly 2/3 of a percentage point. Modest gains throughout most of Europe, but Wall Street was quite strong when Europe closed, and Wall Street still closed with gains, but they really were cut back quite sharply. The end result is a little less than half a percentage point here for the S&P and the Dow, and the Nasdaq 100 was just a fraction over a 0.5% gain. But as I say, that's very much on the lower side of the day's trading ranges. Canada, modest gains, ditto Mexico and Brazil. Well, what's going on in those U.S. 10-year treasuries? Well, they're still favoring the bulls here, particularly in total return, and that has slipped a little bit further here to 2.166%. I don't think that this is pointing to a further economic slowdown. My guess is that we get this continued sort of choppy, quite a wide variation here, with the U.S. among developed economies leading the actual recovery. Other markets, good n number of uncertainties about them overall. On the other hand, I think the China situation, I think people are much too bearish about that. And let's say China has a GDP growth range next year, what it could be anything from 4% on the low side to 8% on the 8, 9, 10% on the higher side, partly depending on governance as it unfolds in that command economy. So I I think one of the reasons that bond yields are still coming down is because of those total returns remain positive, so that doesn't cause people to sell. And also, what I talked about a lot yesterday was the technology is having a big disinflationary and deflationary influence. Overall, that's a bull point on the longer term basis. Okay, and where do we see some upward pressure on those bonds? Well, Greece, that's the current concern here within the overall European Union. Now, looking at currencies, the dollar index firmed in here today. It's currently at 88.469, so a little bit steadier. Overall, the sterling has maintained its recent firmness, 1.5732, but not doing a lot. The euro, let me just find it here. There it is. The euro is at down a little bit. It's at 120.2407. Also, we're down with the Australian dollar, 0.8267. We also had the Chinese renminbi and the Indian rupee somewhat weaker in here today. Now, the China's CNY and the Indian INR, they have been among the firmest of the Asian currencies in here, but there are limits. No, nobody wants to match what was a bit of a trend momentum dollar rally, although that's certainly lost some of its momentum recently up near the highs. I'm talking about DXY now, the US dollar index. It has certainly lost some momentum for at least the short term up in the region of the 2008, 9, and 10 highs when the Fed previously almost certainly intervened, albeit quietly, to soften the dollar somewhat. And I would think they'd be thinking about that again in here today, particularly as there is a negative side which is now emerging for the U.S. economy in terms of the continued weakness of crude oil. Let me just put up the Brent price for you. See what that's done in here today, and that's not down as much, but it's 63.30, and this is the key one for most countries. And you know, 3, 4 months ago, who on earth was expecting the Brent crude to fall down to 63.30? Well, the only people that, to answer my own question, could have possibly been thinking about that was the Saudis, because they're playing a tough game, as I've already mentioned. Okay, industrial metals, not entirely well. They were all down yesterday. Today, a little bit more mixed, and that U.S. copper is slightly firmer at $2.91, just above that level now. The precious metals, they've had a quiet day in here today. Platinum, silver, palladium down slightly. Gold at the moment up $1.15 at $1,227.80, so nearly $1,228. And anything else in here that's relevant? Grains and beans a little firmer here overall on increased export optimism. And coffee and sugar, I see, are a little lower in here today. So, on that note, I look forward to Friday and say all the very best to all of you.